Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you on an absolutely gorgeous afternoon on the 28th of January. And today we have Ken Kelly. He is the executive director of the Greenway Pathway House. I tell you what, you may not have believed it, but in several years, things have really changed for helping our homeless community have places to go. And Ken came from a larger environment, came here to Greenwood, and got yourself in the position of executive director. How you doing today, Ken Kelly?
I'm doing fine. Thanks so much, Ann, for having me here today.
Absolutely. You know, this has been a fascinating project to watch develop, because I can remember, I don't remember what year it was, that it was so cold, and there was, we were doing a lot of work on the radio with the soup kitchen, and we had, there was real concern on my part and so many other people, but from a public standpoint, about what are we going to do for the people that don't have a shelter to go to. And at that time, there was talk of erecting a tent possibly over there from across from United, the United Center there. There were lots of different conversations. Eventually, they ended up with taking them to the different churches to house them. But at that point, we hadn't even come up as a topic, and yet it got so cold that there was real concern about it. And then, of course, the question is, we don't have homeless people in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Right. That's always a big misconception. That
I mean, in Greenville, I could understand it, but not in Greenwood.
Well, yeah, but even in Greenwood and even in smaller communities, you know, the problem of homelessness is very pervasive in our culture today. And it's the result of just a lot of changes in culture, the way we do life, the way things happen, and the situations people get themselves into. There are a lot of factors that go into that, but it is a serious situation and a problem. As you said, I'm pretty sure it was St. Mark's Methodist that stepped in and and began providing shelter for men, and I think Main Street Methodist was actually helping with the women for a while. And so, you know, people did realize that there is a life safety issue, you know,
sure,
in cold weather, you know, for people who have nowhere else to be. But beyond that, there's the bigger issue of how do we help people get out of that situation where they have nowhere to be and find out what's gotten them there.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the things that I think about Greenwood that is so awesome, is whenever there is a problem, there is an outreaching, an outcry to make things change. One of the big changers in our community, though, I do believe, is Jack Parham. I mean, he just keeps stepping up and saying we got to do things. I mean, we wouldn't have a United Center if it wasn't for Dr. Jack Parham.
Amen to that. And he is quite a character. He's very influential. I've grown to love him dearly since I've come here. Of course, I met him a couple of years ago when I first started working with the group here as a part of Miracle Hill Ministries out of Greenville. And Jack is just, he has a lot of passion and deep concern to make sure that people are cared for, that things are done in ways that are meaningful and done correctly. And it was a real privilege for me to get to know him as I came on as a part of the Greenwood Pathway House in July.
Sure. I can remember when they were redoing the United Center, and people, I know several of the people that were the first tenants in there saying, well, gosh, we really could use this, but there's no space or there's no this. And then the next day you'd see Dr. Parham coming along with a group of construction people fixing and doing what needed to be done to make their place usable for them. So it's pretty awesome to have known somebody who just got the job done.
And that he did. You know, he did that very well. And the same thing happened when they began the process of Greenwood Pathway House. You know, it was difficult at first locating a place to actually call home. And they did finally enter into an agreement with Abney Memorial Church to purchase that property. But it was essential to Dr. Parham and the board that they go ahead and get something for the cold weather shelter going immediately. So they, again, they had to add on space and put in showers and laundry area for the people who were coming into the cold weather shelter. And Dr. Parham once again led that charge, and they just stepped in and expanded that facility and made that work.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, he's one of those, he doesn't really like any attention, does he?
He really doesn't. He'd be upset with us talking about him right now. So.
Yeah, but we are anyways, Dr. Parr. I'm sorry, Dr. Jack. All right. Well, we are here at Sharp Facets. We are talking with Ken Kelly. Now, just out of curiosity, you have been in adult ministry-type programs your whole career. You spent 14 years in Greenwood at Miracle Hill Ministries. What exactly is Miracle Hill Ministries?
Well, Miracle Hill is, again, it's probably the largest homeless provider in the Carolinas. It basically has homeless shelters for men and women and mothers with children, and it has long-term drug and alcohol recovery programs for men and for women. And my job there was to oversee all of those adult ministries. They also have children's ministries. They have two children's homes, one boys' shelter, and then also a boys' home out in Pickens County. So they're just a larger version of doing, and they sort of cover most of the upstate. Mm-hmm. Part of their vision was to make sure that there was provision in the 10-county upstate area for homeless provisions in all of those counties, and they had sort of come to the conclusion as a board that they knew they couldn't do that, but they would be very comfortable if that was being done in another county by someone else. And that's where I sort of, in my prayer life, sort of saw the vision of coming here, since Greenville couldn't really expand and help here, and just seeing what God could do through me and a group of individuals here and raising awareness so that we could see what this community was capable of, because as you've already said, they're really capable of solving problems when they put their mind to it, to see how we can really address the homelessness issue in Greenwood.
Yeah, you're right. You know, but you took on this executive director job. Did you have any intrepidation into coming down and being the man in charge?
Oh, I had a lot of intrepidation. I've always relished the fact that I was sort of the man behind the scenes getting things done. And when people would complain too much or say, I don't understand, I could always just say, well, you just need to talk to the executive director. He's the one in charge.
And now?
And now I can't say that because I'm the executive director and I'm the one in charge, which is a real change for me. And, you know, that's something that I've really had to pray about because, again, my passion really is around the needs of those we serve. But. You know, there's also a ministry to the people who volunteer and the people who donate. Those people as well have things going on in their life. And I've made an awful lot of good friends already in Greenwood, folks who have come out and helped us just feed meals to those who are staying with us and those who have helped us just find ways to make things happen. And lots of donors who have been very gracious in helping us as we move towards this process of paying off this property and building a bigger and better shelter to really meet the need. So,
sure. Well, this is who we're talking here today with Ken Kelly. He is the executive director of the Greenway Pathway House right here in Greenwood. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Ken about the vision for the future and what they exactly do over there. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here this afternoon. How you doing? Hey, we're talking about homelessness. And, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, a lot of people don't understand, and sometimes even me, is how somebody can end up being homeless in Greenwood. I mean, that just seems like that's kind of hard, isn't it? I mean, we don't have that much of a transient base because we're not, like, on the interstate. So, you know, what type of situations put somebody into a homeless situation?
Well, it can be a lot of different things. sometimes it is that somebody just continues to go deeper and deeper into an addiction to where they continue to lose everything. There was a great article in the paper this past Sunday about heroin addiction, and that's on the rise now. Crack cocaine addictions, methamphetamine addictions, and just the good old alcohol addictions that have been around forever that we see people get into that cause them to lose what they have. When you couple that with as you start going downhill, it's a very slippery slope that moves very fast. When you think about payday loans and title loans and the things that people get themselves into, what happens very quickly is that what little income they do have gets tied up in those kind of situations, and then they can't pay rent, they can't pay power bills. They call on agencies to help, but soon, you know,
they run out of help.
So that's one way. Another way is just by virtue of, you know, just sometimes there's significant loss. People will lose a job. And, you know, the difference is, and let me just share just quickly, Ann, you know, when I came to Greenwood, we sold our home in Lyman, and we thought we were going to purchase a house in Greenwood, and there were some complications, and it fell through. And so everything I owned was on an Allied truck, and they put it in a storage building, and my wife and I immediately were homeless. You know, the new executive director of the homeless ministry in Greenwood was homeless. But
I bet you weren't out on the street.
Exactly. The difference is there was a network of people and friends, and someone graciously allowed us to stay in their lake house, and we were able to do that for the 7 weeks it took us. And the network of support that was there made it possible for us to, even though it was very difficult, you know, if everything you own is packed up somewhere, it's very hard when you're trying to figure out how to manage life. So you can imagine how difficult that would be if everything you own is just gone. Your house burns down, or someone tells you you have to leave, or somebody abandons you and leaves you there by yourself. All of those kind of things happen. I met with a lady just recently whose husband just left her, and left her with no income, left her in a situation where she didn't have anywhere to go. And then she was on the streets. Only thing she had was a car. And that's sort of a huge upheaval for somebody in life. So when they get into that space, it's very easy for depression to set in. You know, if you, I like to look at some biblical examples. You know, Abraham was homeless because God told him to go somewhere else. And Joseph was homeless because his brothers sold him into slavery, you know, Jesus was homeless by choice, but homelessness is really just about not having anywhere to where there's a sense of being able to do life and manage life. And mm-hmm. and so it can happen in a lot of ways. We didn't mention mental health. That's another issue. I've already observed and noticed in Greenwood we have several individuals who have mental health issues, and that's a difficult issue to manage on the street. You know, one of the seductions of mental health issues is that when people get off of their medications,
yes,
it feeds some of the part of that disease that they're on the medications for. So if I happen to have paranoia and I get off of my medications, then all of a sudden people want me to take medications, and my first inclination is, you're trying to control me. You're trying to manage my life. And so it's very hard sometimes to get people to understand, no, we really want to help you. You know,
that's true.
We want to help you be able to have the kind of life you want to have. And that's what Pathway
and
House exists
And sometimes
for.
The side effects from some of the medications that they have to take doesn't make them feel the way they want to feel. You know, I think that's a big one, too.
Exactly. Right. And it's easy to get over-medicated.
Absolutely. So. You know, one of the commercials right now that's out right now, the Red Cross one, where the woman is talking about just having her own toothbrush meant so much, and that she never realized how just having a toothbrush that was hers, how important that was. I think that drives home the fact of that we take so many things for granted, the toothbrush, the coffee, the warm bed. I mean, we take these things for granted. We don't even think about it. And yet, when you strip it all away and there's nothing left and you don't even have a toothbrush.
Exactly.
That's a pretty big statement.
It is, and it's really a very hard place to be, you know, and that's where we, Pathway House wants to come alongside and companion people and help them understand that we care about their situation, that we really are interested in their situation, and we want to help them be able to start to put life back together. You know, it's pretty easy to when you meet people who are in that situation. One of the dangers is that we start to offer platitudes and cheap advice and say, well, what you need to do is you need to go down and do this.
We all are full of advice, aren't we? We can always tell other people how to live their lives, yes?
Exactly. And you know, what they really need is for somebody to listen and hear their story and just to be present with them and to understand what they're going through. And that's what we try to do at Pathway House, is just, you know, let them, give them some space and time to figure out what's going on.
One of my questions would be, is a Pathway House get any federal funding, or is it all private, nonprofit type organization?
We do get, right now we have two grants through the United Way, and that's been very helpful in helping us with both our shelter and with our Furnishing a Future program that we're working on. But for the most part, we thrive on private donations, individuals who see the need and are passionate enough and care enough to get involved and help meet that need. So we're very appreciative of the community, and we got a great deal of support over the holidays, and we really appreciate all those who stepped up and donated and made Christmas much better for a lot of homeless folks. And that money continues to go into the first quarter of this year to help us be able to meet the needs.
Sure. I guess, you know, one of the things that everybody always is always interested or has questions about, when you get into all the federal guidelines, it kind of can limit what you can or can't do as far as giving somebody that help to get their own life back on track.
Well, that's very true. You know, the federal guidelines are pretty strict, and Pathway House has made the express choice to be a faith-based organization. We're a member of the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, and we are a 501c3 nonprofit. And so while, you know, grant money is very beneficial, and we do get some grants that are private grants for the most part, you know, when you get into federal grant monies, there's some pretty strong restrictions.
That's what I was asking.
On how you can do that. And so we would be pretty reluctant to accept those kind of federal grants. And
so you're taking more private grants and everything that give you the, I guess we should say, the freedom to be able to do how you would like to do.
Yes, ma'am, to be able to do it that way.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I am right here with Ken Kelly. He is the executive director of Greenwood Pathway House right here in Greenwood. Yes, we have a homeless shelter. We're going to talk more about it and all the different nuts and bolts of it. So I hope you'll stay right here on WCRS. News is up. We'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Ken Kelly, Executive Director of the Greenwood Pathway House here in Greenwood. Now, one of the questions that I would have, Ken, is this is going to sound like a weird question. What is the future of homelessness in Greenwood? Is it going to get bigger? What do y'all think? I mean, what is kind of the plan, the future planning for what you plan to do with the Pathway House?
Right. The future of homelessness, you know, is, I don't want to, you know, sound doomsday or anything
right.
like that. I don't think that it's it's going to get bigger. I think what happens with homelessness is as you begin to address it as an issue, there's a lot of hidden homelessness, and people don't realize that, you know, that I think the school system identified somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 children in the Greenwood school system that would be considered homeless. And
It's kind of like hunger, isn't it?
It is.
You wouldn't think that somebody sitting next to you could be hungry.
Exactly.
Same type of issue.
But I think that as we, you know, I believe that the needs are real and that, you know, our plan is to ultimately work towards about a 40-bed shelter for men, which would have capacity for about another 20 in cold weather. Cold weather shelter is just mostly a safety issue to keep people from being hurt by the elements when mm-hmm. it's too cold to be outside. And then about a 30-bed shelter for women and mothers with children. And I think that is a legitimate size. I think that will meet the needs of Greenwood adequately, and it'll help us really to address the issues more successfully. And I hope and really believe that it'll help us to really begin to not see the people as much on the streets out in those areas. There's always going to be some contingency of that simply because there are some people who really just don't want to live
any responsibility at all. I think, you know, you got to look at it sometimes footloose and fancy free, right?
Right. And no rules.
No rules, no right.
Yeah. I'm going to do it my way. And having done this for 28 years, I've sat in many different cities under bridges and talked with people who are just people who are determined that life is the life they want. So I don't think we can eliminate homelessness. Mm-hmm. And considering it's gotten bigger every year that HUD's been working to end it, you know, the struggle is that, you know, they're now beginning to believe that the new programs are going to really turn that around, and I hope so. I mean, I really do hope that it will. But I think that it goes deeper. If we're going to really address homelessness as a community, we're going to have to start to understand homelessness and understand that it is part of the community. We have to begin to understand the people who are homeless and what are their needs. You're right. Responsibility is a big side. You know, it's a two-sided coin. On the one hand, you know, you take, for instance, if I need a colonoscopy, of course, I'm fixing to go on Medicare now, so I don't know how that's going to look in the future. But you know, if I need a colonoscopy, then I go in, my insurance pays for everything, and, you know, I walk out, I've done that twice, and it's just been a turnkey sort of process that was pretty effortless.
A turnkey process. Now, that's a good way to put it, Ken.
Well, you're right. But if a homeless person goes through that process, they're billed the full price,
yes,
$5,000 or $6,000, and now all of a sudden they've got a $6,000 debt that becomes a bad debt, that becomes a bad credit rating, that limits them in very significant ways. So, that on the one hand, we want to help people learn to be responsible and learn to work to develop tools and ways to manage their own life. That's why we worked in our Furnishing a Future program to help people understand you are productive. God has endowed every human being with the ability to do things. And woodworking may not be what it is they're supposed to do, but by working in something where they can actually work with their hands and create something, you know, that's pretty biblical. You know, Paul says, work with your hands and mind your own business, you know, and become productive members of society. So we want to help them do that. But we also don't want to work to advocate in the community with business owners and other people. You've got to help us help these people as they become responsible transition out of the dysfunctional lifestyles they've been in. So as the whole community wraps itself around the resolution of the problem, then I think that we can address the problem in very powerful ways going forward.
I'm sure that, and I have no doubt that this is a program that will succeed because there's some very motivated people working on this to make this happen. And that's as I said, I think that's the beauty of Greenwood. People get involved and they just make it happen. I mean, look at what the soup kitchen does today. Exactly. I mean, just 155, 160 meals a day. That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. And they do it every day and some days more than that. But that program has grown from a very small to a very big. And look at the volunteers and everything that it takes to do it. And it just happens. And now there is a need and it's being met.
That's right, Ann. We're working hard to meet the need. And hopefully, you know, again, that my goal would be to see less people in need of the soup kitchen.
Absolutely.
Not that I begrudge the soup kitchen at all. I'm very thankful and I admire the work that's going on there. But as people begin to be able to provide for themselves more effectively, we're hoping that we can help people move up the ladder some.
And sure.
And be able to get to where they need to be as well.
So. Now, your furnishings, what's the name of this
furnishing program? Furnishing a Future.
Furnishing a Future. This is making furniture, working on furniture. Why did you choose furniture?
Well, we chose furniture. We chose woodworking. There's a group here, the Claw, which is a woodworking guild.
Very active
in Greenwood.
Group, right?
Very active group. And I think Dr. Parham is a member of that group. And somebody mentioned woodworking, and that just sort of flew. Now, I do think it's a very good thing to do because wood is very easily shaped into different things. And with different tools, you know, you can turn bowls on a lathe. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make furniture. We've thanks to Pinterest and Cassie Funderburk, our young entrepreneur who is our resource manager at Pathway House, we found some great projects out there where we've taken single beds and converted those into benches that we've sold some of those. Just different things that we've been able to do, use reclaiming pallet wood, taking something that is discarded,
yes,
and then taking that and making something useful out of it. That's a great metaphor when you look at the whole concept of working with people who are homeless and whose lives somehow feel like to them they've been discarded, but helping them realize that no, there's still a lot of value in you. And so the woodworking aspect to me, you know, when I worked for Atlanta Union Mission, I ran a drug and alcohol recovery program there for a number of years, and we had two huge woodworking shops where we made lots of things out of wood, and we found that to be very therapeutic and very helpful in helping people understand that, again, it's possible to begin to be productive, even though oftentimes I may be labeled as disabled. Disabled doesn't mean unable to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the stigmas we've got to overcome, is that disabled people work every day in the world in which we live. And so we want people to understand that you don't have to sit around because you're disabled. As a matter of fact, the worst thing you can do is, if you're disabled, is just sit around, because you just get worse. You know, that sedentary life is just sort of making things get to where they're not working well at all.
You don't want to get up or do anything, yeah.
And so we really want to challenge folks to get involved and get invested. So it was chosen when I got here, but I like it. It's a good choice. It's very useful, and it may expand beyond that. I hope someday we'll have a thrift store so we can jump in there with everybody else and take reclaimed products and be able to offer to the public not only some secondhand merchandise, but ways to help people get up out of the dysfunctional lives they've been in.
That sounds great. Hey, I am here with Ken Kelly. He is the executive director of Greenwood Pathway House, and I am Ann Eller, and we will be right back. Got a question for Ken? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us, 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. Right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, nice and peaceful here in the back, just talking about homelessness. Who would think that we could have that kind of problem right here in Greenwood? But we do, and that's why the Greenwood Pathway House is such an awesome blessing that we have right here in our area. And what are you looking at futuristically, the growth? What is the plan for the Pathway House?
Yeah, the plan is that, you know, we're in the process of purchasing the Abney Memorial Church, and they're moving to a new location. And we've already identified that the educational wing would be relatively easy to convert into housing. And so we believe that we can, when they move out, and we're hoping they're going to move out in April or May, and then we would begin the process of converting that into about a 20-bed dormitory that we'd be able to use. And increase our capacity to where we could actually begin to more adequately address the need. At the same time, there's a big issue. We currently have no housing for women, and housing for homeless women in Greenwood is a real issue. You know, we had our annual Walk a Mile in Her Shoes parade, where I got to walk for the first time in my life a mile in high heel shoes, or
how'd
actually
it
was a bit more
you?
Than a mile. Yeah, I don't want to do it again, but it was an experience, but we just wanted to raise awareness that the fact that there's a great need for women and mothers with children. So, in the process, we know that we want to start addressing that as well. And our hope is that we'd be able to maybe build something there on the campus that would be a small start to house at least six women or women and children together. Mothers with children, you know, is a very difficult issue to deal with because of the fact that they have a hard time getting jobs because of child care needs, and then hard time making enough money to get up and running because it is expensive. But so we want to ultimately, Ann, what our desire is and what our real goal is over the next 5 years, we want to move to a 40-bed shelter for men with 20 additional beds for cold weather shelter and a 30-bed shelter for women and mothers with children with additional 12 beds for cold weather shelter so that on any given day in Greenwood, there's a place where if somebody has a need, we can help them meet that need and can help them begin to turn their life around and move in the right direction.
Sure. Now, I know for just cold weather shelter, one of the things they came up with was, what are they still doing this, running the flag up the flagpole?
Right.
At the United Center?
Right. The White Flag Program is something that was developed, I don't know where originally, but it's kind of got some nationwide notoriety, but it just is a way to communicate with people on the streets by having that white flag on the pole there at the United Center, that a lot of them eat lunch at the soup kitchen or they're around in that area of town. So if they see the white flag up, they know there's a place they can come and spend the night in a cold weather shelter.
And they actually, the men meet at the soup kitchen, don't they? And
they
are picked
do.
Up and we're at the library for the women, is that right?
No, actually at McDonald's.
At McDonald's,
women. At
okay.
At McDonald's, we check every night at 7 for the ladies at McDonald's. And again, we work with, we don't have any beds for women currently, but we're working with Foundation House, has been very gracious to help us in providing beds for women who need just an emergency cold weather bed. And then we're working with other organizations right now. If they have a real desire to get off of the streets, then we're getting them into program. But since in the 6 months I've been there, we've already gotten one mother with two children and seven other women into long-term shelters to be able to put their life back together. So we're even though we don't have the space to address the issues for those women, we're doing our best to be the gateway and the pathway out of homelessness for men and women in Greenwood.
You know, that brings me to another question. What can people, how can they get involved? How can they help with the Pathway House?
Right. There's several ways. You know, we actually have a lot of volunteers who help us with meals because we have a kitchen, but we don't have a lot of things yet that we need in meal preparation. The guys do prepare some of their own meals there, but people can volunteer and come in and prepare a meal and do an evening devotion with the guys if they'd like to do that. We'd be glad to talk with them about doing something like that. Or they can, you know, just volunteer to be a part of helping us raise awareness. those kind of things. Obviously, they can donate money. We always need money.
You always take money, right?
Right.
Yes.
And that's a big way. And just prayer support, you know, is very important for us, as we do believe, you know, that this is there's some spiritual warfare going on here as well in dealing with this. You're dealing with some difficult issues in people's lives, and helping them to be able to begin to move out of that is very important. So we really just would love for people to give us a call if they'd like to be involved, and we'll do our best to
And how do they call you? What number do they call?
223-4460 is the Greenwood Pathway House number, and they can call us on that number. And we try to answer that phone all the time. If you get a message, we do our very best to call you back. But we do have someone in the shelter 24/7 all the time now. You know, when I came in July, that was the first order of business, because at that point it was still only an emergency cold weather shelter.
So, you didn't need it in the summer, right?
Right. So we felt like, especially since we had been given some monies for the Furnishing a Future program, and we had no clients to work in the Furnishing a Future program, so I felt like we needed to go ahead and start doing a full-time shelter to be able to start identifying the need. And I think that's really helped, in that last year where they were running 10 and 11 in cold weather shelter in January, this year we're running 3 and 4, and I think a lot of that is because we're dealing with several of the people that have been repeats in that, and we've helped several to get into long-term programs or to get into some other transitional housing or permanent housing to be able to move out of homelessness.
Sure. Well, you know, I got to ask you, you know, you had this nice job up there in Greenville at Miracle Hill Ministries, and then you've come down here and you've had to roll up your sleeves and get involved and maybe get a little dirty in this job. Are you glad you're here?
I am thrilled to be here. I've always, one of the things that I've been faulted for in my 28 years is that I spend too much time rolling up my sleeves and getting into things, and that's one of the struggles that I have, especially now that I'm that ugly word, executive director, so to speak, so that I really need to do more. And to those out there who are donors, one of my passions this year is to try to visit more with donors and just thank them for their role and for being a part of this, because they really are the life breath of what we do. And while I really love working with the men and the ladies, just spent some time today with a dear lady who is really going through a tremendous crisis, and I love working with those people, but I also love working with the active people in the community that make this happen. The board members that we have who are very active and involved, the Dr. Parhams, the other doctors. We have several doctors who have been very helpful in working with us, and other community leaders. Got to meet the mayor. Lots of great things going on there, and then the donors as well. So,
sure. Well, yeah. It really is a great community when you look at all the things that happen and get done, because they need to be done.
Exactly.
I mean, just look at the food drive that they just have with the county and the city going up against each other, and what, over 10,000 pounds of food was donated to three very worthy organizations here, and that'll mean a lot. And when there's no food in the food pantry, whether it's the food bank or the Salvation Army, the word goes out, and all of a sudden things start appearing. So it makes a difference.
It does. It makes a big difference. And Rotary just did their Feed the Hungry drive. And
right, that was a huge success.
Huge success there as well. So the very active community, I just want to raise awareness that we're here. We're here to stay. We intend to make a difference in the homeless situation in Greenwood. And so Greenwood Pathway House, we hope that it becomes a name that people become familiar with really, really quickly.
That's right. And if you'd like to call and talk to Ken Kelly, give him a call, 223-4460. That's 223-4460. Ken, I really appreciate you coming out and educating us about the Pathway House.
Thank you so much, Ann, for letting me be on, and thanks for all that you do to raise awareness in the community as well.
Thank you. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. That's right. I'll be back in the morning. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, we've got Congressman Trey Gowdy at 9:05, and we've got Mick Mulvaney, Congressman Mick Mulvaney at 9:35. Hey, newsflash, we may even have Mike Huckabee on Friday. Hey, that's going to do it for me. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.